I sometimes am so amazed by, like, white people.
I'm just, what if I just full stop ended there?
Welcome to the Asian Non-Asian Podcast, the podcast with all of your favorite Asian friends. I am one of your hosts, Jenny Arimoto, and I'm usually with my co-host, Mike Nguyen. He is actually in the room right now, famously behind the camera today, because he wanted us to have a girls episode.
Oh.
So he has decided to simply produce. He's on the ones and twos. Is that what it's called? the zeros and ones, which is a fun little moment. I don't know. This feels very official. We have a producer in-house. Wow. So I'm going to attempt to do an opening announcement, which is actually just one thing, which is come see us live at Hack City, our live show, stand-up show that we do on the second Friday of every month. The next show is April 12th, but in case this comes out after that, our show after that is May 10th at Union Hall in Brooklyn, Park Slope. Information is in the episode description. Come hang out. It's so much fun. I'm hungover after last night's show. And that's kind of how it goes. We get freaking nuts. I drink a Miller Lite backstage. It actually goes absolutely insano in the braino after that. So anyways, I'm going to skip everything else. And we're just going to get right into it.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, so let me introduce you. Today we have one of my girls here. One of my girls. She's an actor, a comedian. A dentist.
Oh.
Yeah, she's a girl boss. And she performs with one of my favorite acts, Asian Pop. I think I've told you this like four times.
Aww.
I really freaking love Asian Pop.
Sweet.
You guys are so good. Welcome to your ears, Maya Deshmukh.
Hi.
Hi, Maya. Thanks for joining.
Thank you so much for having me.
We were supposed to also have Young Me. This is a little bit of backstage tea, but she does have COVID right now. So it will be just the two of us, but I think that's actually great.
That's going to be great.
We're going to have so
regardless.
Much. Yeah, we're going to have like so much time to like freaking catch up and talk.
Yeah.
With no men in the room. Happy International Women's Day to all of us.
I know,
I right?
But honestly, it's over. So that's why Mike is here.
That's true. Yeah, it was
yesterday.
Yesterday, no men. Talk to no men.
No men.
Which is a lie because our lineup was five straight men. Like all club comics Maddie. From Manhattan. And I was like, this is the way we celebrate International Women's Day. Well, this is the first time I'm seeing you in 2024, I think, right?
I think it is.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I thought I would start by saying, how are you doing? But I mean, like, how are you doing this very second right now?
I'm doing great.
Oh, that's good.
I recently, I'm in between housing at the moment. So I've moved in with my in-laws. And
has it been since you've been with your in-laws?
It's almost, I'm going on week two.
Okay.
I gotta say, this multi-generational living is the fucking bomb.
Oh, okay. That's
it's
good.
Amazing. Why don't we do, why aren't we living with our parents?
I was gonna say the opposite for me.
My in-laws are pretty awesome, but.
Also, you have a baby.
I also have a baby. Yeah. I also have a baby. If I didn't have a baby, I would be in hell. But
yeah, okay.
Not really. I like them, but you know, it wouldn't be the same.
It's a different experience.
It's such a different experience because I'm just like, I'm going to go. I'm like, I have a podcast. I'm doing a podcast recording. Can you watch my son?
Yeah, totally.
And they're like, yeah.
Do you guys eat dinner together?
Yeah.
Does someone cook the dinner and then you guys sit together?
Yeah. Like, I haven't cooked.
Really?
I really haven't cooked.
That's really cute.
They always have like a prepared food in the fridge, you know. They have like little. They're white, you know. They're white.
Let's
we
just
love
say
them.
It.
We love them.
Yeah.
They're Jewish though, so
okay.
there's culture,
right?
So they're not like white white.
Yeah.
They've got some
spicy. They're spicy white.
There's a little flavor packet in there.
Yeah.
Yes, they're spicy white, but they're very loving and very warm and like you know there's always food around and they're just it's actually just we have coffee in the morning.
That's really sweet.
It's actually the sweetest. So,
well, I wonder.
I don't want to leave.
Yeah, I was like, just don't leave.
I don't think I want to leave.
How much longer do you have?
I think I have till like the end of the month, and then we're moving to Bed-Stuy, so we're gonna move into our new place.
That's so fun. I wonder if there's gonna be a turn where you're like, I'm ready for my own space.
I think I'm gonna. Well, when I had norovirus earlier this week, and I was petrified.
Okay, so is neurovirus a thing that only lasts a day?
It's like a two day, 48-hour trial. Okay, you know, period.
Have you had it before?
Yeah, I've had it like a bunch. I mean, okay. Like anytime you've got like a random bout of like vomiting and diarrhea, and you don't know where it came from, it's not. It's usually like a neurovirus thing.
Okay, so I've never had it.
Okay,
which is why I'm
flex.
The way you said it literally was like, yeah, I've had it a lot. Made like, me feel like I haven't had
like,
enough life experiences.
This might be like my third time this year having norovirus.
It sounds so bad.
Yeah, it's not
like,
great.
Scary to me.
It's just explosive.
Wait.
It's just an explosive situation.
That's so scary. And like, does it? Do you just like know? Like it's here. And
yeah,
like, it's
one of those things where like you know when you know the comfort of a fart. Where you know it's just like, air yeah. and it's not a solid, it's not a liquid, yeah. it's not a gas, yeah, it's just a gas.
Right.
With norovirus, you never know.
You never know what's happening.
So when you feel it coming, you gotta run, and usually you're right. You know?
Oh my God.
So that's
Wait,
kind of vibes.
Wasn't it going around in, was it over Christmas where like I saw the headline come out that norovirus was like spreading in New York?
Yeah, that was recently.
Was it recent?
Because like, yeah, January, so.
I was, when I saw that headline, I was like, oh, I can't use a public restroom. I'm
yeah.
scared.
I mean, that's, I mean, it's public, it's, look, it's, you get it from splatter.
Right.
It's not an air
and
droplet. It's just a fecal splatter uh-huh. or a vomit splatter.
Oh my God. And we live in like a gutter. New
Truly.
York City is like a gutter.
But you know what? It's fine.
Okay.
You know, you need some splatter in your life. Come
I know.
On.
It puts your life in perspective.
Yeah. It's just a bit splatter. But and I was sharing, but I was like, they have, you know, they're lucky to have more than one bathroom. So I was like, do not.
Okay. Yeah. Don't.
I literally
here.
Like gave a speech. I was like, there's splatter everywhere. I'm going to Clorox everything. Nobody go into that bathroom.
Oh my
it's
God.
Full of norovirus.
Well, I'm glad that you made it in a one piece.
I did.
Today.
I did.
And that even that is commendable.
I mean, I'm fine, but.
And then that also, now that I know that it's, I thought it was like a week thing. Like I thought
no,
it was like
no,
weeks
it's
of this.
A little 48 okay. hour, a little.
Then I'm not scared.
It's like 36 hours in New York Times, but it's norovirus.
Yeah. The way that I'm like, then come at me. I'm not scared anymore.
No, you don't have to
I'm
be
just
scared.
Kidding.
You get through it. You get through anything, right?
Okay. Well, beautiful. It sounds like you're on the mend.
Mm-hmm. How are you,
food.
Jenny?
I'm okay.
You're okay. That's
2024
very
has been an okay
yeah
year.
Yeah,
this week specifically I feel this was one of the topics I was going to bring up was like I feel like bored with my life and my normal ways of feeling excited are not gone, it's just like not working.
Have you tried drugs?
Not yet. Maybe that's what I have to do. I'm only doing my weed. What kind of drugs?
I mean, just weed. Come on.
Okay.
I'm a mother. I can't do powders anymore, you know.
Powders.
I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore.
And
well,
I
you know, the fentanyl strips. If I could die, I can't, like, orphan my kid.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to, like, you know, do a key bump in the back. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I can't. I can't do that. I just can't.
Well, I'm just generally scared of things anyway.
Of everything? So yeah, yeah. The world is bleak.
Yeah. So I'm just, like, sticking to weed and watching bad movies.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's great.
But yeah, like before, I think like basically the things that were exciting are normal now. You know, you just get used to it. Like I love Hack City, but before yeah. I used to get nervous before it. Now I don't get nervous.
Yeah.
Which is good
That's
in
great.
Some ways. But it's like that, you know, like there is like a roller coaster feeling that comes with performing. And then you kind of get used to it. I don't know if you hit that point, but like I hit that point. Like probably like a year ago where I was like, I don't really get nervous about performing anymore, which is beautiful.
It but it also takes the fun out of it.
Yeah. Like that feeling of like that stomach drop. Kind
yes.
of like
I love that feeling.
And like the joy of getting a laugh. It's still obviously I'm chasing a laugh.
Of course.
But you don't remember it anymore. You get used to it and it's just like another day, which is.
It's like perfunctory.
Yeah. But it's fine. That means that you were doing it enough. And
yes.
that, what a joy that
yes.
is. But
yes.
it's also like, OK, so that no longer is a thing that's like. Ooh, it's exciting.
Yeah.
What else do I do? I like before posting something online, like a sketch online would do it. And now
oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
my numbers are bad. And
your
it's just
sketches
like,
are so funny
thank
though.
Thank you. Thank
well,
you so
if
much.
It makes you feel better, when I see a sketch of yours, I feel bad about myself because I'm not doing enough. If
oh
that makes
God.
You feel
that
better.
That makes me feel really good. Part of doing this is making other women feel bad about themselves. But like that joy of that is
yeah.
gone because I've it just like is, you know what I mean? And like it just
it's that malaise.
I know.
And I think it's also look, I think it's like we're coming out of the dregs of winter.
That's what
it's
I've
an election
trying
year.
To remember. I know.
It's a lot of things are really I mean, there's so much like international horror, like there's all the stuff going on, you know, all over the world and Gaza and everything. Just
wars,
and it's just a war, and it's just depressing, and it's hard to feel joy at those times. And I think that that's okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to remind myself that the world is bad, and also it's winter. Yeah. Like the winter part, unfortunately, huge effect on me.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling very like,
I know.
And trying to figure it out. I am trying to socialize, but when it rains, it's so rainy
so
this week.
Hard.
I don't want to go out.
I know.
I'm not dating right now. Not because I don't want to, but I'm too lazy to do it.
Why? There's so, they're, oh God.
Men are horrible.
I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. I've been with the same, I'm unfortunately in a heterosexual relationship, but he's good. He's a good one.
Right,
but
right.
I look around and I say to myself, how are these women doing it?
I know, it's a nightmare.
It's an actual, I don't even know.
Yeah, it's horrible.
The bar is so low.
It really is. It like,
I think I don't think I would date men if I was in the scene.
I mean, I get it. It's
I don't
not
think
great.
I would.
This has nothing to do with my experience, but I've obviously been watching Love Is Blind. I don't know if you
watch
it.
I mean, like I like bits and like I know the narrow, like I know the tea. I put the zeit.
Okay. So this season has been really interesting.
Interesting.
Because the last season was horrible.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
not
yeah.
fun. Like, yeah. not horrible, like, boring.
Yeah.
So I kind of, like, dropped off. And then I wasn't going to watch this season until there has been so much cultural conversation about
Seriously,
this season.
Yeah.
But I will say, every man that you think is good turns out bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the narrative of almost every single couple
is
that the man sucks.
Yeah.
And even like the guy that I was like, that didn't really make it past the first part of the season because of like, you know, you have to like match and then your story continues. He didn't match. I was like, that guy is secure.
Mm.
He's saying the right things. Mm. He's independent. And then
bad TV though.
I know, bad TV. But also to come to find out, he was in a relationship the whole time.
Oh, God.
And I was like, okay, so this is like garbage. Everything's garbage. It's actually every man is horrible.
I know. I really don't want to be that person. But I think as like I've gotten older and I've just been in this, you know, I don't really seek validation from men anymore. Like I used to as when I was younger or when I was dating or whatever.
Right.
I just realize their irrelevance. And after being a mother, after going through the birthing process, no offense, Mike, but like, I mean, why?
You don't have to be here. Yeah.
You don't have to be here. You literally, like, women are, I mean, people who give birth are a poor, not that saying if you, I'm not saying that there's like a hierarchy, but like, I feel like a portal to the universe. Like, I am actually a goddess.
That is true. Nothing.
Not life. To like conflate
okay,
myself.
Okay, you're literally a goddess.
I'm actually a goddess.
This is what this episode's about. It's going to be us.
But then I'm just like, I hate the way society has been created and manufactured and just the patriarchy.
Right.
Because men are so irrelevant. They're so jealous of us because they don't have anything. What are they good for?
Absolutely nothing. And
I mean, like,
that should
they
be a song lyric.
I mean, literally, after like the agricultural boom, after like we started having like agriculture, that's when you needed men to like do shit.
Right.
Because then, and that's when women's bodies were commodified.
Yeah.
Because then that's when you can create more human life to replenish, you know, building some shit and building that shit and building some other shit.
Right.
And the organizational systems of like government and civilization were men.
Mm.
When everything before, when we were like hunter-gatherer, tribal, and like that was all matriarchal.
Yeah.
Because you can't actually test paternity. Now you can, but back in the day, you didn't know who you don't know paternity.
Right.
Paternity could be anybody.
That's true. Wow, we really got into it.
Sorry. I'm just on a
I love it. No, I love it.
Yeah.
I've never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
I don't really
They're
think
just
that
much. They're just jealous of us. They're just jealous.
I mean, I agree. I mean, it's just seeing even the men like just around me. Okay, I'm going to not talk about, it's not Mike, but like people, men around me who are dating.
Yeah.
I am like, I think you're looking for a caretaker.
Yeah, like literally you are. Because nobody knows how to do anything because they think that domestic work and domestic labor is beneath them.
Right.
And this is why people are so deeply. And that's like going back to the whole like multi-generational living.
Yeah.
We live in, I mean, because of capitalism, we live in these nuclear families where we are a mother, a father, and the two children and the the picket fence. You all have your individual home and your own vacuum cleaner and your own dishwasher. And there's no collectivism and there's no sharing of labor.
Yeah.
So and then immediately because of that, you know, the woman is the one doing all the labor. And it's actually like we have all this shit that's supposed to make our lives easier. But actually, our lives are harder than ever.
Yeah, totally. I mean, do you think about that in terms of future? I think about getting older and I'm like the fact that we're all individualized. Like we yes. live in our little homes. I'm like, what's going to happen
to me? It makes me crazy. And I that's why I'm just like obsessed with just trying to like hang out with people as much as possible.
Totally. I mean, that's why, I mean, New York is New York, but it's like, it's kind of nice to live on top of each other.
It is.
You have to take care of each other.
You have to.
Because there's literally no room to not.
Yeah. Or you just have to see each other.
Yeah.
I mean, by take care, I'm just like, someone's like, I'm like, are they dead? I'll just look.
Yeah, totally.
And then I'll keep going. But that's, I mean,
no, it counts.
It counts.
You know, if something weird is happening, I kind of stand nearby it just to be like, keep my eyes on it.
Totally.
But I'm not going to,
I'm not going to intervene.
No, I'm not going to intervene. I'm scared. But I'll look at a bigger guy and be like, intervene. You know what I mean?
But like, that guy's scared too.
I know. We're
that
all scared. But I do kind of like do that, you know?
I know.
It's like, you should be part of this.
But honestly, if I was that guy, I'd be like, no, dude.
Yeah, I know.
I have a kid. I can't intervene.
Okay, so you kind of brought it up already, but you did pitch some idea or some topics you want to talk about. And the first one was late stage capitalism.
Yeah, man. Oh, my God. I know this is like a thing, but I'm really like the world is so bleak right now.
I know. I spiral about it a lot.
I read this book. It's called America, the Farewell Tour.
Okay.
By this author named Chris Hedges. I found it at the library because
okay.
now that I have a kid, I go to the library and
I
I'm like,
that.
Free books? This place is great. I'm like, yeah, it was just talking about like the full, like how our society and all of the gains that were made during like the New Deal era, like after World War II, Social Security
yeah.
and like the Housing Act and the GI Bill and yeah. all these things that mostly benefited white people, but all these things that kind of like gave a lot of our entitlement programs that we have that we benefit from are slowly or all the gains made through like labor laws
yeah.
are slowly and slowly being ticked away because of like private equity and like you know, buying up more and more businesses
right.
and gutting them and making them profitable, and that like how we're losing major taxpayers that used to have like middle class incomes working at some plant. Now they have no job anymore and they're working at a Walmart or they're working at an Amazon center
right.
or working, and how because of that there's no money going into like local governments and municipalities, so like all of these services are going to slowly die off, and like and yeah, and everything's just going to be privatized and sad and shitty, and yeah,
that
it's really bleak.
It's so bleak. I love doing a comedy podcast.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, it's real, though. I've been thinking about a lot about like late stage because it's only going to get worse from
here. It's only going to get worse.
Part of
AI
me is
especially.
Like, yeah. Part of me is like, I need to marry somebody who has like citizenship elsewhere where they're a little bit more caring about their people.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I don't know what the answer is.
I think it's just
a system that we're stuck in. But
it's a system that we're stuck in, but we're also like tied to the system to gain wealth in this country. Because the second you have any money in this country, the first thing they're going to tell you to do is like put it in the market, get like a,
right.
you know, you have to grow your, I mean, like that's the way you grow income, or that's how you grow
right.
generational wealth. But the market is also like tied to like all those other things I talked about. So we're all like in a system that's actually making us sadder and worse.
I know, totally.
Yeah.
And then I've been thinking a lot about like my relationship to productivity, which is fully informed by this
yes.
mentality of like, you need to grind. I hate rise and grind stuff, but you know, like TikToks are always like, you know, I make X amount of passive income doing this, but
oh
it's like
God.
Part of that, right? Like it's like we're told that we have to make a lot of, we should be always being productive to make money, to
yes,
like live
yes,
a life that's
yes.
of luxury, whatever. And so I've been thinking about how that impacts just like how I think about how I'm spending my time. Like to relax is something you have to work for.
Yes.
Like you have to deserve it
yes.
is the way I see it.
Yes.
Which is so fucked up.
It's toxic.
I know. Because we should literally just be sitting and looking at trees and eating fruit, I think.
I know.
But instead I'm like, I need to write a script and also hold down go to grad school.
I know, dude. It's all of it. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. But it's never enough. But I think as like I'm getting older, I'm just like, you know what? It's okay. You can take a break. You can take a rest.
Do you feel that though? Because you're doing a lot of stuff.
You think so?
Well, you're a mother and you have like, you're a dentist.
Yeah,
and
I
you
am.
Like still perform here
yeah,
and there.
Yeah, I've definitely dropped off. I was performing a lot more. And then like this year.
I mean, like I watched you perform full pregnant.
Yeah. When I was pregnant, I swear I was up like multiple times a week.
Yeah.
I would like literally be like puking morning sickness, but I'm like, I have to. I felt this super sense of urgency. And then after I had the baby, I also had a super sense of urgency and I was performing and performing. And then the strike happened.
Yeah.
And it was summer and I had like not really taken a break.
Uh-huh.
And I just took a break for
That's
a while.
That's great. Yeah. I guess.
And it's like kind of been going. I'm like, oh, I got to like, I have to do stuff. But yeah, I'm, you know, writing new things. And
yeah.
Gonna do stuff, but I'm also just enjoying my time.
You don't feel, like that's nice though. Like, does it feel good to rest?
To rest? Yeah, it does. But I also feel a lot of anxiety. I can't relax.
I can't relax. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's what I'm working in therapy about.
I know.
Of like, why do you have like questioning my need to like be moving towards a goal at all times?
Yeah, and I think that's also the Asian American experience.
Yeah.
I think. Will never. I mean, like, there's a lot of pressure as someone. Were you like the first person in your family born here? Or were you born elsewhere?
No, I'm like fourth generation. Like, so my great grandpa moved here.
Check myself.
On my mom's side, I'm the first generation.
Yeah,
she's from Japan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm first generation. Like, I'm first one born here. And yeah, you know, you just hear all about how your parents struggled and all this other stuff and. You feel a big sense of like, I have to make it.
Yeah. Or also like I owe them.
Yes.
Success.
Oh, yeah.
In this very
But you kind
way.
Of like do.
Yeah. I know.
I kind of like feel that way. Like I want my kid, like I'm going to be upset if my kid's not like successful in some sort of way.
I sometimes am so amazed by like white people. I'm just, what if I just full stop ended there? I'm sometimes amazed by white people.
And honestly, yes, me too.
I'm just really amazed. No, I am really, truly amazed by sometimes like by white people who are like, don't feel like they owe their parents
anything.
I'm really amazed by that mentality.
But I also sometimes think that white parents like don't do enough for their kids though.
I could see that too.
You know, as you get older, you start to understand the real important stuff in life. Sunsets, being with friends, and of course, your Helix sleep mattress. I love my Helix mattress. It is so comfortable, and since I got it a few years ago, it's really improved how I get my rest. Every body is unique, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. How will you know which Helix Sleep mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. Once you find which mattress is perfect for you, your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own house. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix Sleep mattress. There are models with memory foam to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. There's also models that are more responsive for people who sleep on their back or people who want to sleep on their stomach. Don't take my word for it, though. Helix has been rewarded number one mattress by GQ and Wired magazine. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows to our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Asian and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long either. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Like, I think, like, Asian parents are, like, annoying, but they, like, always have your fucking back.
I love that you're whispering, like, we can't let the white people hear this.
I think, like, sometimes white parents are, like, bad parents.
Wait, recently?
No, yeah.
Recently, I was talking to somebody, and they were explaining their family. I asked, like, could you tell me about, like, your family? And it was the most complex. Because Mike and I have talked about this, white family structures can get really complex because like in Asian families, it's rarely that complex. You don't like divorce, get married like four times and then like have all these stepchildren and like whatever, which is fine. Like that's fine that it's complex. It's just like not my culture.
No.
So I remember I was just like sitting there and it took so long to get through the family, just the structure of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is being white is crazy.
It's
and
exhausting.
Also like a lot of the parents, and I'm not saying this doesn't exist with Asian parents, but it's just like white parents who probably just they got pregnant.
Yeah.
And so they have kids, but then they're like kind of absent parents.
Yep.
And they just like move around doing whatever they want to do. And yep. I was like, I didn't know that you could just do that.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating. It's like a cultural difference.
It is a huge cultural difference. I mean, granted, like were my parents were like a little absent and a little checked out. And I kind of like did way more things than I should have done at my age.
Uh-huh.
But they were still so like effusively like loving and mm-hmm. there for me. And honestly, there for me financially.
Right.
My parents have been very there for me financially.
Yeah,
into adulthood.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like lie and say I did it on my own. I absolutely did not. Like I have help constantly to this day.
Yeah.
From them. And I think that like that's something I want to give to my child one day.
Right.
I'm like, if I can.
I know. Well, we're a different generation.
I'm like, come see me at my dental practice. Yeah. PPO insurances. Help me support my child while he's in his 30s.
The other thing I've been saying a lot is we only know what we know.
Yeah.
And so it's like we know how our parents raised us. So that's how we want to
raise our kids.
It's not even how we want to. It's how that's all we know.
Yeah.
So it's like because I got that from my parents, if I ever become a parent, that's what I expect myself to give them as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
That has been my mantra recently.
Totally.
We only know what we know.
We only know what we know. And I think like there's just a lot of like family, but like happy to be around your family. Like there's just like I feel like even though, you know, my parents aren't perfect, but like they genuinely enjoy spending time with us. And I definitely got that they genuinely like liked being around us.
Oh.
You know, so I feel like that's something that, you know, is important.
How many siblings do you have?
I have a sister.
Just the two of you?
Just the older sister.
Okay. Yeah. So you're the youngest. You're the baby.
I'm the baby. Yeah, I'm the baby.
Because I'm the oldest of three.
Oh, wow.
I'm the oldest girl.
Oh, my God.
You know, like oldest sister energy.
Oh, wow. I like, I get that from you.
Yeah. I'm like, really, like,
you're very like,
I have to achieve.
Yes.
Or the family will die.
Literally.
Like,
that's literally,
I'm like, the roof, there will be no roof over our heads unless I work really hard. Like, that's like my mentality at all times.
I love that. That's good, though.
It's good. And I'm also trying to undo it.
Are you a Virgo?
No, but I have a lot of Virgo in
my
chart.
You have a lot of, okay, yeah.
I actually have mostly Virgo in my chart.
What's your sign?
I'm a Leo sun.
Okay, I see it.
Where are you?
Scorpio.
We're going to get really close, and then we're going to have a fault.
Oh.
Falling out. That's like my journey with every Scorpio.
Oh, God, we're so toxic. We're so like in. We're like, we are you. We're like, we are there, and then we're kind of toxic. No. I'm like a Scorpio, Aries, and Capricorn.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Mike, this is conversation that you would not be part of. You're like, I don't know what that means. Which one are Aries?
Aries moon and Cap rising.
Oh, my God. That makes sense.
Sorry.
That makes sense. I'm like mostly fire, air, except for every like in my main three. And then everything else is earth.
Oh, I love that.
Like secretly earth.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see
like
that.
Like secretly very
I could see
practical.
All of that. Because you're like, you're fiery, you're passionate. You like love the limelight. You like the nightlife. And then you like to boogie. The air, you're thinking.
Yeah.
And, you know, very intelligent. And
thank you.
Love that.
Hey, thank you. Wait, but I wanted to hear about your theory on late stage capitalism and IVF.
Okay. First of all, abortion. I don't think abortion is about women's bodies and control. I mean, yes, there is an element of that.
Yeah.
But I think it's about having extra bodies. I think that like our financial system, our economic system will collapse if we don't have enough people. Our whole financial system is a pyramid scheme. It's like a giant MLM. Okay. You need the base of the pyramid. You don't have the top of the pyramid without the base.
Okay.
And the base of the pyramid is people working low wage jobs.
Uh-huh.
So people filling prisons, people going into the military. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that this is like the look. This is just the stuff that you need bodies for, mm-hmm. right? Filling the military, working Amazon, like, you know, working in warehouses,
right.
working
labor.
Things. Labor that's unfortunately not paid well,
right.
No benefits. People you can like kind of use and abuse, disposable. Mm-hmm. You need a lot of people for that. The best type of people to fill those things are going to be people that, you know, unfortunately, are babies that are not planned for. So if you have a lot of babies that are unplanned for, they're not, you're not going to have the financial resources, you know, the emotional resources, uh-huh. the capacity to care for them and give them what they need. Unfortunately, they may not like have as many opportunities. And these are the opportunities that will lead them into that. Uh-huh. Our birth rate is declining.
Yeah.
So this is like where you're going to get more people for that. On the other hand, with IVF, IVF is for people, most people who are doing IVF are people who are like, well, I'm not ready to have a kid when I'm of my prime right. fertility age. I'm going to be working on my career. Financially, I want to be a little bit more stable. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're doing IVF because you've tried, you want it, you're ready to, you know, put your body through a bunch of shit, put a lot of money into it. So people who, that's a form of natural selection. So if you have people who are like doing the most to have that kid,
yeah.
that kid for the most part is like, has a lot of things that's going to make them a little bit more cared for. They're going to more likely probably like graduate high school, maybe go to college, maybe have a better well-paying job. It's less people you want. And I think that the powers that be want less people like that.
Interesting.
Yes. And then like the elite will like do whatever the fuck they want.
I know. I mean,
but this is like the, you know, upper middle class people that are like, or like the middle class people that like have the ability to do IVF or like will put themselves out there.
I see. That's interesting. So wait, so the powers that be are like the like lawmakers and stuff that are like,
yeah, like the like, you know, the business interest, the corporate interest, the like that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you're not, I understand.
I don't think it's like
is.
Some like evil cabal that's like coming up with this, but I think it's like a interesting coincidence.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like from a theory perspective, like that it is what it is.
It is, yeah.
But it's also just like increasing. What
it's interesting,
it?
The wealth gap.
The wealth gap.
Yeah. Because the truth is, like, the more you make people struggle to survive, the less they have the ability to question.
Yeah.
And the
because
more...
Because you're just trying to survive.
Yeah. You're just trying to survive. Like, this is a comedy podcast, but this is so...
Yeah, we'll get into really funny things.
We're getting really funny things. But I was just, like, very sad the other day. I was just, like, looking at a line of people that were waiting to, I'm sorry, I'm going to get really emotional. Oh. Like, they were waiting to get food.
Yeah.
And it just made me really sad that I'm like, these people are probably waiting in line for, like, an hour or two, you know? And it's, like, such a waste of time when you're poor and you don't have anything. Because you're just struggling to survive.
Yeah.
And there's like nothing. And then when you just don't, when you're literally waiting in line because you have nothing, you can't revolt. You can't organize. You can't work together to make things better.
I know. Have you seen Poor Things?
No, I need to.
Okay, never mind.
I won't talk about it
because this is a theme that comes up.
Yeah.
You should watch it. But it's like basically the point is like, Poor Things is great. I have a lot of thoughts about it, but they're, the concept is someone who like doesn't know anything, right? Like is like a child, like brand new person who's like an adult body.
Yeah.
And so she like experiences everything for the first time. But one thing is like seeing like people struggling and dying.
Yeah.
And she like can't handle it.
Yeah.
But then everyone else around her is like desensitized because it's just like how society works. And I was like, that is a, like, it is really
it's
fucked
really
up that
fucked
we're just
up.
Like
we're so blind and we're so numb to it. But otherwise just like, you're just like consumed constantly.
I know. That's how like I feel that all the time. An interesting thing, what was it? I saw like a post about like on Threads because I deleted my Twitter off my phone. So I was on Threads and like there was some post about like unionizing or something, which I was like it wasn't even like a it was just like a news article. I can't even remember what it was. And I clicked the, so stupidly, to read the comments. And it is wild to see how many people who are anti, like
union?
That, like, or like, just like anti, like, they're like, oh, well, that's what you get for whatever. And I was like, I feel like it's not that hard to like be on the side of like not
unions?
The super rich guy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think it's like this mentality because it's this individual mentality that, oh, if I do that, then one day when I become a billionaire, people are going to unionize in my factory. And I'm like, you're not going to be a billionaire. Like, you're probably not going to be a billionaire.
Yeah. We should all be looking at trees and eating fruit. Get over it.
Literally.
Okay, let's just switch to something lighter. Okay. I don't know if this is lighter, but how is it being a mother?
It's great. it's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah,
it
no, but it's really fun.
Your baby is A little over a year old.
A little bit over a year old. Okay. It's cool. Like
is it hard?
It's so hard. It's just like, imagine when you're like, oh, I have to like get up and like, you know, get ready. But then you have to like get up and get a child ready.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck. What? I'm also like, wait, I have to keep this person alive for the rest of their life?
That is so wild.
My life? The rest of my life?
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
How do you like sustain a sense of like your own identity outside of that? Is it hard?
No, I'm just a really self-centered person.
Okay. That's how you do it.
That's how you do it. No, you rely on other people. Mm. You have to like, I think you really like, I'm just like really blessed to have family nearby because my in-laws are in the city and like, yeah. So there, if we're going to like go out or like go for a weekend or go to a wedding, like we can just like drop them there. You know, that kind of thing.
That's really
nice.
Here,
but yeah, it's definitely hard. I definitely see how people lose themselves.
Yeah.
In it.
I'm always amazed when people who are performers, like comedians, do it.
I know.
It seems so hard.
It's really hard. It's hard. It's a lot. It's a lot of work. I mean, the worst is like making them food.
Like feeding them?
Feeding them. And like, I'm not, I don't want to abuse my child. Yeah. I don't want to hit my child. Yeah. Except when I've like made something that I'm like, this is really good.
Yeah.
And then he spits it out and doesn't want to eat it or like throws it.
Yeah.
And I am just like, I like literally have to leave the room.
Yeah.
I have to like go close the door.
Yeah. You're like, I worked really hard on this.
I literally worked really hard on this. And I'm a chef and I make really good food.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're not eating this?
Yeah.
So
he
that's
picky?
Really triggering. No, he's not picky.
Okay.
But he's
good.
Just like, you know, like I made these really great eggs and he just looks like, he just like threw them. And I was like, you little shit.
I worked really hard.
Yeah.
You do. I you've posted some things about cooking and it looks really good. Like everything you make looks really good.
Yeah.
Is that like a thing that you do? Like you've always cooked?
I always. Yeah. Yeah. I'm really into
cooking.
Do
you just make it up?
I make a lot of it up. I make
I
a lot of it
that.
Up. Really? What? Yes, you can.
No, I follow recipes to a T. Like the Virgo in me, I'm like,
wow.
I need directions and then I will follow them to a T and they will turn out delicious because I follow the rules. But you should see me cook because it's like I'm like constantly just like looking at the rules.
I am very triggered by that. I am so, you have no idea how triggered I am when people take a spoon out and they're like measuring spices.
Me.
I'm like,
you just
like,
see my vibes?
I'm, of course.
And just like knowing,
but you're
like,
Asian. You're
I know,
supposed
but
to
I feel like
vibes.
I just don't. I don't trust myself to know like how to fix something.
You always okay. That's the thing. The thing about cooking. I mean, there's like a book. It's called like Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. I would say like start there and learn like some basics of like how to do certain things and how to fix something. Like if something's too sweet, you might need some more sour.
Right.
If something's too fatty, you need some more sour. If something's too sour, you need some more fat. You know, like just how you add things to like make it work. You can do it. It's just practice.
I guess.
Yeah.
And I could just literally just read a recipe.
I mean, girl.
You would be really.
That's some white people behavior.
I know. I know. And it really is. If you saw me post cooking and you saw my like dish rack of all the measuring cups, you would disown me.
I only use measuring for baking. That's the only time I would find that acceptable.
I don't bake.
I don't like baking.
I don't like baking.
It's too much.
I like salty foods.
I love sweet foods, but I don't want to bake and then have a big...
That is my thing. When people bake and then they have like 50 cookies, I'm like, so what are you going to do?
Eat the cookies?
Eat all 50 of those
cookies?
And
I will.
Yeah.
And I will. But I mean, that's fine. But I'm like, I don't want to.
I just get sick of it after a while.
Yeah.
Where something salty, I can just like eat that for
forever. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I love a salty food.
Yeah.
I love Asian food, like all Asian food.
Keep running into the mic. But yeah, I mean, obviously I love Asian food.
Mm.
Here's my complaint about living in New York. It's that sometimes it's hard, depending on what neighborhood you're living in, to like get the right ingredients. I think I'm like in a neighborhood right now that's not super Asian. So it's really hard for me to get stuff. And if I do get it, it's super expensive.
Yes, because I don't want to buy sesame oil from like those stores that sell like the Grazza oil and like, you know, $15 bag of like pimento.
And that's when LA wins because you just like have access.
I know. I want
that.
Like 99 Ranch.
I know.
I want the big ass. I want like Patel Brothers. Like I want.
Do you guys have a car?
Yeah.
So you get to like drive.
I know, but I'm like, I hate driving. I'm from Jersey, like I should be driving, but I don't like drive. I just kind of feel like I'm gonna die all the time.
When you're driving?
I feel like I literally get in the car and I'm like, do not hit children. Like I'm like, oh, there's a child, don't hit that. Like I literally have to tell myself like, there's a, like, you're gonna kill somebody.
But also, New York is insane. I don't know how anyone drives here. I don't know how you guys do it. I was in my Lyft today, and I was like, people just jump out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of nowhere.
Yeah.
And when I'm walking, I hate cars.
Yes.
But when I'm in a car, I hate pedestrians.
Yes.
And I felt that today where I was like, how dare everyone just like step out?
Yes.
Meanwhile, cut to me taking the train home. I'm going to be that person.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be like.
Bully. Yeah. Just like in the crosswalk always.
Yeah. Just like head, arm, legs out into the like street being like, can I go?
Yeah.
When it's like fully not my turn. You know what I mean? Like
my move is I do this thing where, you know, when cars like make a right hand turn into the crosswalk,
yeah,
and they like sometimes they're like just go, I make eye contact with the driver and I violently wave my hand at them like this,
yeah,
as I'm walking, because I'm like, they made eye contact with me. They're not going to hit
good.
Me.
Yeah.
They're not going to kill. Like, I like do that. I constantly like make eye contact and wave my hand at people.
And it works.
I think everyone should do it. If there's one thing you take from this podcast, is that when you cross the road, you make eye contact with that driver and you just do a little wave.
Take up space.
Take up so much. And as a driver, I would love if somebody did that to me.
Really?
Yes. I'd be like, great, thank you.
I see
you. I'm not going to run you over.
But I will honk.
I'm not going to honk.
You don't honk?
No.
My Lyft driver today was laying on that horn the whole time.
Also,
he said thank you to me 20 times. I don't know what he was thanking me for, but I kept being like, thank you.
Your presence. Your presence.
Two Asian people going, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No, thank you for like the whole ride. And I was like, I don't know what we're doing here. We thank each other so much. He was great. At the end, he thanked me like four times.
So sweet.
And I said, no, thank you.
He wanted your business. So happy for your business.
Yeah. But it was just so funny. I was like, I don't. And then in the middle of the ride, he turned around and go, thank you. Like in the middle, I was like, oh, no, thank you. What a beautiful little community I built in my Lyft today.
I love that. Usually I'm just like, hi, thank you.
Yeah.
And then like, that's
it. I have been doing a thing where I don't talk. Because I'm a
people pleaser. I don't like to talk.
Okay. I don't like to talk either. But up until like 3 years ago, I would talk a lot
because
I'm a people pleaser.
Mm.
And so I would go out of my way to like, like how are you? Do you live here? Mm. And only recently have I been like, I don't need to learn the whole life story of every Lyft driver.
No.
Also in San Francisco, I definitely had an experience where like someone was like, just like really racist. And I didn't want it.
San Francisco.
Yeah. He said some weird, he was a British guy. And he said weird things about Japanese people, and I was, because he's like you're Japanese, and I was like,
British people can just, they need to go. Get out of here. They just need to go.
I know. I was also like, why are you doing here this to me here in San Francisco?
But you're in San Francisco, you're in the Bay Area, bro. Like, what are you doing?
It's a bunch of Asian people, but then he was just like, you know, he'd be like, you know, Japanese people, and then he started saying stuff, and I was like, this is like the beginning of like a horrible stand-up bit, you know what I
know.
Mean like I was like, don't do this.
He's probably like working on his tight vibe.
Yeah, but at that time I was such a pushover that I was just like, and I didn't want to like cause a scene. Also, it's like a safety concern.
Oh yeah.
So I was just like, would let it happen. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, thank you so much for the ride at the end. I was like, I hate that I let myself do it.
Now
I just don't engage.
That's
a new thing for me.
Don't engage.
Boundaries.
Take your time, take up your space.
Hey.
But also, like, could you imagine if I was like a British, like I was in England as a Lyft driver, whatever they have there, and I was just like, these British people colonized everything.
Yeah.
They'd be like, get out of here.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd be like, get out of here regardless, but
yeah,
know,
that's true.
They'd be like, you're existing here for what?
Or they'll be like, Americans are like this.
Yeah.
Have you seen those TikToks that go viral about like British people complaining about Americans, and then American people will stitch it and drag them?
Oh,
and like,
I love it.
This is so interesting.
Yes, I love it. I love that.
That's the only time where I'm proud to be American.
I love those. I love when like Europeans are like stuck up about some bullshit, and then Americans come back and be like, yo, fuck you.
But at the same time, if anyone from Europe wants to give me citizenship,
oh my God,
I'll take
it. Talk about racist. They're so racist there, man.
But I will take health insurance if I need it.
Oh, I know. That's true. Will you, like, it's like, will you sustain like day-to-day racism for health insurance?
I know. I've thought about that. I was like, how much can I handle
so
I can like not have to pay a lot for an ambulance ride?
Oh, God.
Oh boy, I love doing comedy in 2024. before.
I know.
I know. I was like, I wish I had more dating stories. I know. I'm like, a lot lighter.
So sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm like, late stage capitalism. No, let's talk about the bread lines.
I'm trying to think of like a fun thing to cap off the conversation. I really wish I had more dating stories. I just really haven't been dating. Do you have any tips for me to meet people in real life?
Yeah. Oh, I'm a geriatric millennial.
Uh-huh.
I'm an elder millennial, yeah. Okay? I'm an elder millennial.
I'm a geriatric millennial.
I'm a geriatric millennial from New Jersey.
Yeah.
And when I first moved to the city,
uh-huh.
2008, uh-huh. when you were like literally like... You were graduating high school.
Yeah, I was literally in diapers.
You were literally really learning to crawl.
Yeah.
I was in these mean streets. We had no smartphones.
Yeah.
I had no smartphone, period. Uh-huh. I used a map. I used The Onion. I would read The Onion and like there'd be like, ooh, check out this restaurant. I would like look in the newspaper for fucking restaurants.
Wow.
When I first moved to the city. So we didn't have any apps, anything. The best way uh-huh. to meet people, I think, is through friends. I think it's like going out there, going to parties, and just like go like have your friends. Like, yeah.
Okay. I've tried.
Yeah.
I've really tried.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, all my friends are comedians.
Oh God, comedians don't date a comedian.
I know comedians don't want to date comedians. I mean, comedians end up dating comedians because yeah. that's the world we're in.
Yeah.
And the other thing is. Every person goes, there's no one good enough for you.
Because I think, yeah, you just need to start. I think the answer is you need to start dating women.
I know. I mean, like, that's what everyone's like, are you sure? And I'm like,
I know.
I always am like, keep it open because I want to be cool. I'm like, maybe I'll date a woman if it feels right. But I've just
You're like, you're probably going to, yeah.
I've just like never felt that. I'm like not against it.
No, you are who you are.
Yeah. I'm like trying to figure out my therapist was like, it's so wild, but my therapist has become like my dating coach.
Uh-huh.
She's like, what if you take like a one-off furniture building class? Like, I'm like, this is what therapy is. Like, she's like, what if, because I literally at one point I was like, I don't want to drink so much,
mm-hmm.
which is part of dating culture, unfortunately. I was like, I just don't want to drink that much with like strangers. And then she was like, then do stuff that's not, doesn't require drinking. And then I literally went like, what? Like, I couldn't think of any single thing. And then she had to like give me a list of activities, and that's when I was like, my therapist is becoming a dating coach.
Oh, I just thought of something.
Okay.
Rock climbing. Get into climbing.
Oh, God.
Get into climbing.
I make
climbing
fun
bros
of
are
rock
hot.
Climbing. I know, but I but make climbing fun bros. Of rock climbing.
Oh, but it's so fun.
Is
it's
it,
a
do
great
you rock climb?
I did in college. I'm like into
You were rock climbing in college? That's
we had a rock,
it was cool.
We had a rock wall at Rutgers University, New yeah. Jersey, Rutgers University. Shout out all the Asians that probably go there. we had a rock wall there, and yeah, I loved it. It was really, I mean, I also like wanted to hook up with guys there.
Is that why you were doing it?
I was a little A, little B, but I also was like, yeah, this is fun. It's a great workout. It's so fun. And
it's not insufferable. I feel like some of the people are like insufferable.
Yeah. There's always a level of like anything involving gear where people are going to be just straight up insufferable. Any white people and gear or like what, like a sport where it's like, I was going to say, like, she got into surfing. Surfer boys are hot, too.
Yeah, but that's just a really hard.
It's really hard.
Logistically hard.
Yes.
Thing.
Yes. Yes.
If I go into climbing, I feel I'm going against every single thing
okay,
that
but,
I believe
but
I stood
for. But you're in
for.
Greenpoint. There's like, the cliffs there. There's,
I know.
Like, other. Like, yeah, you should do that.
Oh,
that's
God.
A good way. I
Maybe.
Feel like you're like a hot Asian girl that's like white kryptonite. The white boys will be all up on you.
I just
but
feel
no,
like
there's also a lot
exhausting.
Of but there's also a lot of Asian dudes, a lot of Asian bros that are climbing.
Regardless of race, I find them to be. I feel that it will be I just feel they're not my people. But that's me judging.
Yeah,
and
I
that's
mean,
not fair.
But then you could like roast them and
that's cool.
Yeah, it's like you got to take remember like the pickup artist,
yeah,
the pickup artist. Of the early, that was my generation.
Yeah,
okay?
Like negging.
Yes, negging. I grew up with like guys with like feather boas like negging me at a frat party. You know, that's my culture. That's where I come from. As an elder geriatric millennial,
negging with the solo cup.
Negging
Let me
with
tell
a solo
you
cup to like Usher's "Yeah" in
will,
the background.
I will say this: I don't know how to neg. I'm like, such
I can't imagine.
I know. I'm like such a soft presence that if I can't be mean.
Be like, wow, your skin is really soft. I bet like you use. You exfoliate.
Yeah. That's like, that's the best I can do. You know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah, you have muscles. Congrats on that. Why are you working out so much? That's like me nagging, me asking a lot of questions, getting to know people. I'm so like when I have a friend who's only nags. Like she doesn't know how to be authentic. Like, it's like almost like a natural thing to just like go into nagging.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, I literally my instinct just go so earnest and genuine and then self-deprecate myself. Like,
oh no, do the opposite. You gotta go hard. Okay. You know how you hate these guys? Just be like, yo, you fucking dumb loser. No, don't do that. I don't know. Just be like, wow. Like, make fun of them for being dumb climbers. Be like, don't have a personality.
Congrats.
That rock is now.
Yeah. I think our approaches are very different.
Yeah.
Did you get your husband by nagging?
He kind of nagged on me a little bit. I think a little bit. You know what I think helped too? I never like saved his phone number or anything like that. So every time he texted me, I'd be like, who is this? And I was also like very busy. I was dating. I was out in these streets. It was like the 1 year in New York where I was like out. I was going on dates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, friends set me up here, going out here, there, everywhere. But I was just too busy to be bothered. And I think when you're unavailable, that's like attractive.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I think, but also we were long distance and whatever. But right. We've been together since I was 23.
Wow. That's right. You guys have been together for a really,
really
long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of different life phases than where I'm at.
Yeah. It's a different world. We like grew up together, but, yeah. Yeah, I guess my advice would be, yeah, we met through friends. We met like a...
I do think that's the best way to do
it. I think it is. I think it's hard. I mean, a lot of people meet on the apps.
I know.
But the apps are just, I can't imagine there's like no chemistry there, you know?
And there's no responsibility towards like sustain, like being like kind to a stranger.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. It's like, it's very easy to... like forget about ghost whatever. Like I've done it too. It's because like I don't know this person. You're a literal stranger I met on the
totally.
Internet. Whereas like through friends,
there's an accountability. Yeah, if you're like totally a dick or something, you can't do that.
But there's also a safety aspect to that too, because you're like, oh, this person has been vetted by a mutual person.
So absolutely,
it's like you kind of jump into it in a different frame.
Yeah,
online
you have no idea.
You have no idea. You could be a murderer.
Oh, God, I can't imagine. You should just do like workout classes with people.
Okay.
Just be like, let's meet here for Barry's boot camp and that'll be our date.
Yeah, but Barry's people.
I know Barry's people are the worst, but I love Barry's. I love working out and like all that shit.
Okay.
I'm like, that's my thing.
I feel that Barry's was good for me when I was like 24. Mm-hmm. And my body now can't handle it.
No, my body absolutely cannot handle it.
It's so intense.
It's so intense, but I love it.
You're just running straight, like sprinting.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Maya.
It's a rush. And just like some hot twink just fucking yelling at you.
That is my dream. That is what Barry's is.
It's just like, okay, Barry's is the hottest women you'll ever see that also probably all like work in private equity.
Yes.
They're the ones that are bankrupting America.
100%.
These like hot girls at Barry's are bankrupting America.
Yeah.
And just like the most just like disheveled, like schlubby. I mean, literally the dating world.
Yeah.
Everything.
I think it's just not even the dating world. I think it's the world.
It's the world. I was like at an Equinox in like the High Line, and I was just walking around and I was like, wow, like everyone is like very gay. Like all the men were just so impeccable, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And every now and then you'd see someone, I'm like, they looked like the runts of the litter. Mm-hmm. Like they look like the little mutant in a lab experiment. Uh-huh. And I'm like, that's the straight guy. And that's our fucking dating pool. And they have no personality. I can fuck with somebody who is like a kind of an uggo, but like has a great personality, funny, intelligent, kind, all of the above.
At the end of the day, all I care about, I mean like not all I care about, I care about like cleanliness and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but like,
you have to have hygiene.
Yeah, but I'm like indexing on personality. Unfortunately, a lot of that is sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
That's just me being like a broken comedian. But like that is like the one thing, and it is kind of amazing how little of that there is. But then I also am like, I am just in a bubble. I'm in a bubble of people who have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
So then my norm just gets like higher where I'm like, oh, I just assumed everyone can do bits. Yeah, everyone can switch between like joking and being real.
Yes.
And then you kind of like leave the bubble and you're like, oh, not everyone has a sense of humor. The way I know that is if you post something on the internet that's a little ironic and then everyone doesn't understand what satire is.
And they're like, are you okay, Jenny?
Yeah. Or like, the one I always go back to is that I pretended to like own land upstate. Like me and my friend, and we're like walking around. And it's like his old Polish family's like family farm they've owned for like 100 years.
Yeah.
And so we're like walking around and it's just us being like, we don't know how to do anything, right? Like it's like clearly a joke.
Yeah.
Like I'm like sitting on a tractor and I'm like, what do I do now? You know, it's like that energy.
Yeah.
And the number of comments that I got, they're like, you are ruining upstate New York.
Oh,
first of all, we weren't even upstate New York. It was a joke. We're in a different state. But like, just like I got dragged on the internet about the comments and I was like, oh, a lot of people don't have senses of humor. They just take everything at like face value.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, I'm in a bubble.
Yeah. You're
of, like,
in a bubble.
Well-educated, funny people.
Yeah. I know. I think also too, I feel like a lot of straight dudes like are probably going to be intimidated by, like when men say like they want funny women.
No, they don't.
They don't. They want women that'll laugh at their jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't actually want a funny woman.
It's true.
Because they have to be really secure with themselves. Because women aren't funny, right?
Right.
So.
That's not what they want. They want someone's like, you're incredible. Let me cook you food.
I'd be like, tell me that Matt Rife joke one more time.
Yeah, I love Matt Rife.
Shane Gillis.
Yeah, Shane Gillis is actually hilarious. Oh, and I love what he stands for.
Oh my God. And yeah. I know. Ugh.
Well, you know, there's no solution to this.
There isn't. I think the solution is that we just wait till the eventual apocalypse.
Okay.
Reform a matriarchy.
Okay.
And yeah.
The episode's going to end with me going, all right. We really covered all the topics.
Oh my God.
Okay. Well, I think we've probably hit time. I don't know. I don't know what anything is. Okay. I don't want to like force the conversation.
I mean, I can keep talking. I'm having fun.
I'm having fun too. Thank you so much for coming.
This is so fun.
Thank you for ditching your child.
I love ditching my child. Any chance I get, I am out of there.
Do you have, is Asian Pop still performing anytime soon?
We don't have a show yet. No, we don't have a show right now.
Okay.
I think we will let y'all know when we have a show.
Yeah,
but
we
unfortunately don't have a show coming up yet. Yes.
Well, let us know when you do, because I do love seeing you guys.
Aww.
Okay, Maya. Well, thanks for hanging out with
me. Thanks so much for having me, Jenny. I hope I didn't bring it down too much.
Well, you know what? It's part of life.
It is.
We're complex human beings that want to talk about society and also my lack of dating life. And that's okay. We contain multitudes. Okay, so for folks who want to find your work, where can they find you?
Instagram is really great, at Maya Desch. And if you check out Girls 5 Eva, I'm going to be in an episode.
Oh, no, wait. I'm rewatching it right now because I love Girls 5 Eva.
I know.
And it drops soon, next week.
It drops next week. I'm going to be
Netflix.
Hopefully I don't get cut. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm in it, like, I think I'm in the finale episode, but I booked it 4 months after I gave birth, 3 months after I gave birth, and it was really a strong accomplishment for me.
Wow,
so
congratulations.
I felt really happy about that.
I'm not kidding. I love Girls 5 Eva.
It's so,
so that's
good.
That's very exciting.
It's so good. I'm very happy. I'm with Renee Ellis Goldsberry.
Oh my God. Yeah.
She's the nicest.
Is she the best?
She's so gorgeous. She's so beautiful. So lovely. She like stayed and did the scenes like when the camera wasn't on her.
Oh wow.
Which I was like, that's a fucking professional.
Oh my God. I can't wait to. I mean, like I was already excited, but now I really can't wait. Yeah. Okay. I'll take a picture, kind of put it on my Instagram. Anyways, yay! Congrats, I can't wait. And you can always find us on Instagram at AsianNotAsianPod, and I'm at Jenny Arimoto. Mike, do you have anything you want to say?
All of the trauma.
Just kind of like us absolutely dragging
straight
men.
You're all wrong. Everything you said is wrong. In no way reflects the attitudes and positions of AsianNotAsian podcast. No, it was awesome.
Well, thanks everyone for listening. Thank you, Maya, for joining.
Thank you.
And we love you. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Save on Cox Internet when you add Cox Mobile and get fiber-powered internet at home and unbeatable 5G reliability on the go. So whether you're playing a game at home,
yes, goal,
or attending one live,
goal!
You can do more without spending more. Learn how to save at cox.com/internet. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial cable. Cox Mobile runs on the network with unbeatable 5G reliability as measured by Ookla LLC in the U.S. 2H 2023. Results may vary, not an endorsement. Other restrictions apply.